one of the most beautiful illustrations in Scripture, and I think the one that most people would be familiar with, is that of Christ as the shepherd and we as his sheep. And probably one of the earliest pictures we remember from Sunday school times is the picture of Jesus the shepherd carrying the little lamb, or the lamb around his neck carrying the little lamb. And Psalm 23 is probably the best known portion of the Bible, "The Lord is my shepherd." John 10 is another wonderful portion about how Jesus is the shepherd and we are his sheep. And so some time ago I got to wondering why Jesus would liken us to sheep, and I thought maybe if I looked in a animal husbandry book to find out what sheep did and what they were like, that maybe I could understand why he calls us sheep. And I do understand. We are very much like them. And I thought, with all the Rocky Mountain sheep, the bighorn sheep, have you seen any of them around? And I thought maybe it would be appropriate today to just share a few thoughts about how we are so like sheep and why he might call us sheep. First thing I found out about them is that they're very fearful. Sheep are very fearful. And they fear a lot of things, and actually we fear the same things they fear. One of the things they fear is they fear the unseen and the unknown. And aren't we like that? One of the girls was just talking to me about feeling like maybe she had urged her husband to stay in the present position rather than achieving his dreams because it was a secure position. And aren't we like that? We're afraid of the unseen and the unknown. Sheep don't like to go over the brow of the hill because they're afraid of what might be on the other side. They don't like to go through tall grass. And when they can't see their way clearly, they're afraid to go. And they have a dread of what might be on the other side. They have the same distrust of the dark. They're afraid of the dark. And I think a lot of us can identify with that. I remember so well growing up being very afraid of the dark and afraid of noises in the night and things that go bump in the night. And how through the Scriptures God has delivered me of those fears. And the sheep will go up to the brow of a hill, and then they'll all bunch up until one of them gets pushed over. And then if it's okay and he's not eaten or anything, then they'll all follow. So they hate to go where they cannot see and cannot know. And we like that. We are like that, aren't we? We have a real fear and a distrust of the unknown and the unseen. And we want to see what's ahead many steps, don't we? And so often God just leads us one step at a time. But we want to know everything that's ahead. There's a song that says, if we could know about tomorrow, I forget the words of it. But the idea is we always want to know before we take that step over the brow of the hill. A shepherd would never lead his sheep into any danger. And likewise, we can trust our shepherd. We don't have to be afraid because we can trust him. He's never going to lead us in a way that would be wrong or hurtful for us. Isaiah 41:10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And then Isaiah 50:10 is a good verse for someone who feels like you're walking in darkness. And sometimes we have those times, don't we? Sometimes maybe we've prayed for light, and none has come yet, and we feel like we're really walking in darkness. This verse says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If such walk in darkness without one ray of light, let him trust in the Lord and let them rely upon their God." So when everything is dark around you, you still have a shepherd. He's still there. He's still leading. Nothing has changed. And we can trust him. Another thing they fear is the ice. Sheep are absolutely helpless on ice. It's just as effective as a barbed wire fence. Sheep will not cross the ice until the shepherd scatters either snow or sand across it to give them footing. And this reminded me of Psalm 73, which is called the Psalm of Slippery Places. And in that, the psalmist said, my feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. And then a few verses later, he tells about how the Lord held his hand and guided him. And I think we come across a lot of slippery places in our life, too, don't we? We're afraid we're going to fall, we're going to slip, and we don't want to approach that patch of ice without the Lord scattering his promises across it to give us sure footing. And when it seems like a slippery place, the thing that will get us across safely is the promises of God. That's the sand or the snow that the shepherd spreads across for us to give us sure footing. I think of Habakkuk 3:19, which says that the Lord will give us hinds feet on high places. And this was a wonderfully brought home lesson to me. I lived here at the Glen for 3.5 years, and with great joy. And one time I was up in Queens Canyon, just up a little way, sitting down in the moat. There wasn't any water in it, and I was sitting on a big rock in the moat, having some time alone with the Lord. And I heard a noise, and I looked up on the side of Queens Canyon, and way up on the rim near the top were several of the Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep. And I could tell that they were walking on a very, very, very tiny ledge, just a little thing that came out from the sheer cliff there. And yet, you know, I would have been like this, you know, careful each step. And they were walking as carefree as they could be, as sure-footed as they could be. And I thought about this verse, how he says, I will give you hinds feet on high places. Another thing they're afraid of is the enemy. They are very, very timid and defenseless in the presence of any foe. They're very easily frightened, and oft times physical breakdown comes to them from running away from the enemy rather than from injury from the enemy. And again, I thought, don't we often cower before our enemy? And we run pell-mell in fear of Satan, and we forget that he's a defeated foe. And we can actually suffer physical and emotional breakdown from our fears, can't we? And yet you can always count on the fact that fear is from the enemy. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when we're fearful, we can always count on the fact that it's not from God. It's always from the enemy. And our shepherd does not tell us to run in fear from the enemy. What he does say is stand. Hold your ground. Stand firm. Do not run. I think about the spies. If you remember the story of the 12 spies going in to spy out Canaan land. And God had already promised the land to them. And so they sent these 12 spies in. They said, now find out if it's a fertile land and if it grows good things. And, you know, find out everything about it. So they went in and they came back with the report. And 10 of them said, oh, that's right. It's a very fertile land. That was another picture I remember from Sunday school. Remember the two men with the big thing of grapes between them? And they said, it's a very fertile ground. Here's the proof of it. But there are giants in the land. And why, we looked like grasshoppers before them. We could never go in there. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, listen, God has already promised it to us. It's a piece of cake. What they really said is, it's bread for us to eat. We'd say it's a piece of cake. He said, God has taken any protection from them and he's given it to us. It's no big deal. The difference, see, was their focus. They had seen the enemy as compared to God. The 10 had looked at the enemy, the giants, and compared the giants to themselves. And when we look at our enemies and we compare them to ourselves, we're going to say, oh, wow, there are giants in the land. And we dare not go in. But if we compare the giants to God, we'll be able to say it's a piece of cake. It's no big deal. So it depends on where our focus is, whether or not we're going to be fearful. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Don't run from him. Resist him. 2 Chronicles 20 gives us the right response to fear. I love this story. It's one of my very favorites. In this story, Jehoshaphat had been told that there were three armies marching against them, the Israelites. And the first thing it says is that Jehoshaphat feared But then the next thing it says is he immediately went to prayer and to fasting and got all the Israelites to pray and fast. You see, when he became fearful, he knew what to do and where to go. He knew the thing to do when you're fearful is turn to the Lord. And so he turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's what we do with fears. That's what we do when we come up against something like that. The right response is to turn to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All right, the second thing about sheep is that not only are they fearful, but they are given to detours. They hate to go straight up and down a hill. And I thought of the song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And how we are likely to prone to wander and to get off on detours, aren't we? And so many times, instead of heading straight for the goal, we wander around in detours, don't we? I often think that when we're going down and we're on track with God, and then we get off on a detour and we go way off here in the tulies. And then one day we wake up and we say, hey, we need to get back in fellowship with God. So we think we can just cut across. Can't do that. When you've gone off on a detour, you have to come back to where you got off and correct that before you can go on in the right way. And the other day I was driving home and I missed my turn. And it was a familiar turn to me. There's a sign there with an airplane on it. And that's where I'm supposed to turn. But I missed it. And I thought, oh, well, no big deal. I'll just go to the next street. Well, the next street was a dirt road full of ruts and holes, and I bumped along, and then it was a dead end. And there was hardly any room to turn around, and I thought, isn't this like us when we get on a detour? We think any old road will do. I can make it on this road as well as the one that God pointed out. Why do I have to go God's way? I'll go this way. And often it's a bumpy, rutted road with a dead end. And I had to turn around with much effort, get back on the right track, go back to the road where I was supposed to turn. And that's what we have to do when we have a detour, when we've been on a detour. the Apostle Paul could say, this one thing I do. But I think many times I have to say, Lord, these 10 things I dabble in. Instead of this one thing I do, Paul always headed straight for the goal. But I often get off on many, many detours. Hebrews 3:10 in the Living Bible, God says, I was very angry with them, for their hearts were always looking somewhere else instead of up to me, and they never found the path I wanted them to follow. In Ezekiel 34, it's another chapter about shepherd and sheep, and he said, my sheep wandered through the mountains, were prone to wander. The next thing I learned is that sheep are very restless. They have a great love to change feeding grounds. They are very restless. They always think the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. And I thought, well, we're kind of like that too, aren't we? We always think that if I was just out of this situation, when we were single, we thought, well, if we could just be married. And then when we're married, we think, well, if I just had a baby. And then we think, if I could just move in a bigger house. Well, if my husband just had a better job, if I just didn't have to live in this sit, you know, it's always the grass is greener, isn't it? Excuse me. And sometimes we get restless to be anywhere but where God has put us. Instead of wanting to bloom where we're planted, we want to be uprooted and put somewhere else where it looks better. And another's pasture seems to always look much greener than our pasture, the one that God has put us in. And we forget that the scripture says that God has placed every member in the body as it has pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we all can't be ears and we all can't be hands and we all can't be feet, but each part is an important part of the body. And wherever God puts us, he wants us to be the best foot or the best hand or the best nose or whatever it is. He wants us to be the best that we can be right where he puts us. It was interesting to me in this same chapter, in Exodus, about the spies going into the land, when the 10 gave their report, the people got so upset that all the Israelites, it said they wept all night. Can you imagine this? Thousands of people weeping, wailing all night. And then they said, let's go back to Egypt. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, rather than obey God, they said, let's go back to Egypt. where they had been slaves and had been under terrible taskmasters. And yet in a moment's time, they said, let's just go back to Egypt, because they didn't want to obey and be where God had put them. And then I found out sheep are very wayward animals. And I understood then why in Isaiah 53 he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Very wayward animals. If that's too cold on you all, just feel free to shut windows if it's too cold on you. Okay. Well, what happens when a sheep wanders away? The shepherd finds him and breaks his legs. But then he has to carry him. And the sheep has that wonderful close bond with the shepherd as he is healing. And sometimes you'd think I could get through a message on sheep without crying, but sometimes when we are wayward, God has to break us, doesn't he? But then he also has to carry us. And we develop that wonderful heart bond with a shepherd that loves us that much. Job 5:18-19 in the Living Bible says, boy, it's hard when you're crying to see your notes. How enviable the man whom God corrects. For though he wounds, he binds and heals again. I'm so glad you all are crying with me, because I'd hate to be up here alone. The next thing I found out is that sheep are very adventuresome. They like the high places. But the young sheep seek the high places more readily than the older sheep. And you know, I thought as we grow older in the Lord, sometimes it's easy to lose our spirit of adventure and our desire to climb to higher ground. And it's easy to just settle for the less strenuous lowlands. Tozer, in one of his books, prays, Lord, deliver me from these lowlands where I have wandered so long. Plant my feet on higher ground. I think of this same story again where God said Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that gave the good report. And at that time he said they are the only ones that will have an inheritance in the land. So Joshua was 45 at that time. And then you remember that God said that those that had not believed him would die in the desert and they would wander 40 years, 1 year for every day they had spent in the land, spying it out. So it would be 40 years till that whole generation died out. And he said, only Joshua and Caleb will receive an inheritance in the land. So at the end of that 40 years, Joshua and Caleb have now waited 40 extra years. Caleb was 45, so now he's 85. And there's this wonderful portion of scripture where he says, give me that mountain. And the mountain he wanted was the one with the giants in it. And at 85, he says, I'm just as well able today as to capture that mountain as I was 40 years ago. Give me that mountain. I hope we have that kind of a spirit in us. This must be my day to cry. I still have another one to go tonight, so if you want to hear some more, come tonight. The next thing I learned was that sheep have a very strong herd instinct. It's one of their most distinctive characteristics is that where one goes, they all go. They are very gregarious. They like to keep together. And if they didn't flock together, then they would be far more prey to predatory animals. It's whenever a sheep gets off by itself that the wolves and the predatory animals are able to get the sheep. And I thought, you know, there's both a negative and a positive lesson for us here. We too are prone to follow the crowd, aren't we? And we need to check which crowd we're following. Those of us who have teenagers are so aware of the tremendous pull on our kids to follow the crowd and how often that is devastating. how often a good kid with just a desire to be one of the bunch gets on the wrong foot and follows the wrong crowd. And we can be like that too. We need to check and see which flock we're following. If we're following the wrong flock, then it's a very easy thing for Satan to make us go down the tubes. And on the positive side, we're less subject to being destroyed by the enemy if we're surrounded by a fellowship group, if we're part of a flock that's following God. Then the enemy cannot get to us so badly and so quickly. This is the value of fellowship together with other believers. There's strength in numbers. Even if there are only two of you, two are better than one. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, excuse me, for two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And so if you don't have a Christian buddy to help hold you up, or as the old black preacher said, to prop you up on the leaning side, then ask God to give you someone to prop you up on the leaning side, to be strong when you're weak, and to hold you up. And the next thing I learned was that sheep follow a leader, and therefore they need a wise shepherd to lead them and to guide them. And Christians need a shepherd, don't we? We need to be following the shepherd. And if we didn't have a shepherd, we're just like the sheep. We get lost. We lose our way. Sheep are really pretty dumb. And they really need a leader. I think of the scripture in John 10:3, where it says that, talking about the shepherd, he leads us out and he calls us by name. He always goes ahead of us and breaks trail. You can always count on when he leads you, he's already been there. I read a little saying that said, "Fear not tomorrow, for God is already there." And so wherever he leads us, we can count on the fact that he is leading. That means he's out in front of us, leading the way. Psalm 23 talks about how he leads us beside still waters. And then not only does he act as our shepherd, but he causes us to be shepherds to other people, to younger ones coming up. And I think of the scripture that talks in Psalm 78 of how he took David from feeding sheep and made him a shepherd of Israel to shepherd them and to lead them. And then the next thing I learned was that sheep follow the footsteps of the sheep following, sheep walking directly in front of them. A sheep will follow the footsteps of the sheep right in front of him. Wherever that sheep goes, the one behind will go. They do not look or check to see, is this where I want to go? They just follow. And I thought of how this is an example of pace setting for the Christians. How you're the best Christian that somebody knows. If you know Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, you may not think you're a very good Christian, but you're the best Christian somebody knows. And their opinion of Jesus Christ is going to be formed through your life. You're a pace setter for them. And we need to realize that others are following in our tracks. I heard an illustration of a man that was trudging through deep snow to the bar. And just as he got there, he turned around and looked and saw that his little son was trying to take giant steps and follow his daddy where he was going. And you know the thing that bothers me most about my children is when they act just like me. When they follow in my footsteps and do the bad things that I have done. The next thing I learned about the sheep is that they express defiance. And the ewes, the female sheep, do this often by stomping their forefoot. And sometimes by snorting. And I thought, well, that's kind of like us too, isn't it? We stomp around and we snort to show our defiance and rebellion. Have you ever stomped out of a room and slammed a door? I thought of the story of the little boy that his mother said, "Johnny, sit down." And he kept standing. And she said, "Johnny, I said, sit down." And after the third or fourth time, he sat down and he said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." And then another thing I discovered is that the sheep are known by the shepherd. He calls them by name. And our shepherd knows our name. And even more than that, the scripture says that the hairs of our head are all numbered. In Isaiah, it says that he has tattooed our name on the palm of his hand. John 10, 3 and 4 says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So we have a shepherd who knows our name. We're not just one of the millions to him. He knows our name. We're very much loved by this shepherd who is the King of Love. I think of the song that says, "The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never." And so his love is manifested to us by the fact that he knows our name and leads us out. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved thee with everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And then lastly, sheep are in great danger of being undernourished without anyone knowing it, because their wool hides the gauntness. It hides their real condition. Unless they have water and food daily, they're going to be undernourished. And the only way that gauntness is revealed is when they are sheared. Then their true state is revealed. And aren't we like that too? We can wear a coat or a covering of good spiritual activities, and we can appear spiritually healthy. And when that healthy coat of all of our smiles and our service and our church attendance are sheared away and we're naked before God, then our gauntness reveals the fact that we are spiritually starving. And you know, God has a way of making sure we get sheared every once in a while. We put on all these heavy coats of spiritual activities and we hide, don't we? But God has a way of making sure that we get sheared so that our true condition is known. Well, do you see yourself in any of these comparisons today? Do you feel a little bit more like a sheep than you did 20 minutes ago or so? Maybe you identified with the fear thing. Maybe you identified with, and by the way, when I said God had delivered me from my fear, not from all of them yet, but he's working on them. But at least I can stay in the house alone now. Was it distrust, or did you identify maybe with cowering before the enemy? Or maybe it was the tendency to waywardness or restlessness? Maybe you're given to detours. Maybe God has said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And you're saying, "No, no, Lord, I don't want to do that yet. I've got to go over here." Given to detours. And maybe you've become aware that other lambs and sheep are following in your tracks and you haven't given them a good path to follow. Maybe you realize that under your nice coat of good works or religious activities or whatever it is, that you're undernourished spiritually and you're gaunt when all that's stripped away. Or maybe you can identify with the young sheep that are joyfully seeking the higher pastures, pressing on to higher ground in close communion with the shepherd, resting in his love, following him closely, without fear, in an absolute confidence that where he leads you, you will follow, because he's a trustworthy shepherd. And you can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or like the little boy said, "The Lord's my shepherd and he's all I want." Lord Jesus, we want to tell you tonight that we love you. We're just so glad that you're our shepherd. We're just very glad to be your sheep, Father. Lord, help us to be obedient sheep that follow very closely behind the shepherd. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
May I mention something?
Surely.
That I read one time. I don't know how many have read the book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm.
Yes. Philip Keller, I believe, wrote that.
And it says there that we're supposed to, we all know that we're better off if we start our day with prayer and meditation. And I don't know how many people know that sometimes when the shepherd takes the sheep out, in fact, that is the time that they get their nourishment, is the first thing in the morning. That's the only, sometimes the only water they get is from the dew of the grass. And it sort of reminds me of us getting our dew.
First thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Start the day. And then another thing is, if sheep gets mixed up in a great big corral, all the shepherd has to do, one shepherd at a time, is give his certain call, and all of his sheep come out. And the next shepherd will give his call, and all his sheep come out. I remember that lesson.
It's beautiful.
I really appreciated you.
Thank you. I remember, too, in Psalm 23, where it says that he leads us beside still water, that sheep will not drink from a rushing stream. It has to be still water, and sometimes the shepherd has to dam up a little pool of water so that they will have water to drink. So. Any other questions, sir? Thank you. I apologize for crying, but just some days I'm like that. No, I don't.
But,
yeah, we just taped it, so. Where's the end of this thing?